blessings to each one this morning. I find it a tremendous privilege to be able to examine our hearts and consider whether we have that wedding robe or not. I just very thankful to be able to hear those words and consider my own life in that way. This morning, there may be a blessing if we would stand. I was thinking of calling on a brother to pray. And not sure where all the mics are. Maybe we'll just have a word of prayer here. Thank you, Father, for your love. To be alive and have opportunity to once more examine our lives as a special gift from you. Especially as we think of millions that enter eternity and have really never heard much of your name or had the opportunities that we do. And so I think it would behoove us to take these things to heart this morning, Father. Thank you for calling us together. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you. Thank you for the opportunity to live our lives for you. And thank you for the opportunity yet to continue to cleanse and live pure, holy lives. Father, it is a tremendous feeling or reality to live in that reality of pure holiness, Lord. And I know we can look at our lives and there's continual perfection that we desire, but to be clean and pure and holy. Something we desire for all men. We desire especially them of the household of faith, Lord, that we could live in this, that this would be reality, or that we would have hope for this, or that we would experience this, Lord, you might say. So, Lord, thank you for your word to us today. You see the messenger that is before your people that is, you know, we could say all kind of things of just help flow through me, Lord. Help me to surrender to you completely. And help me, give me wisdom and faith to look to you today as we consider your word. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. I'd like to open up this morning with a scripture as well out of Luke chapter 37. If you have your Bibles, kind of in many ways it is in line here with what Brother Zach shared. I'm going to be reading from Luke 12:37 on down to 42. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Think of those words. So those servants, when the Lord cometh, those servants whom he shall find watching, it says he shall gird himself and shall make them sit down to meat, and he himself will serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable even unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? This morning, we would like to spend just a few moments considering the coming of Christ. on this marker. Don't have a. Okay. No. Okay. Yeah. See if I can get that right up on the board here. I think that marker's bad. So. Coming of Christ. Now this is a subject that the Bible is just full of. In the Old Testament, there's so many scriptures and so many things that pertain to this subject. But my heart today was more in the line of us, of just reminding us. I don't really have a lot of new things here today. Not only reminding us, but living our lives in such a way that this is what influences us, or this is what compels us, or this is what motivates us. I think that's one of the secrets as we read through the book of Acts, as we study the book of Acts in the New Testament. I think those believers thought. I think they thought that Christ was. I think they thought any day he would come back. When you study some of what they said, I think they all thought they were going to be alive when Christ came back. And so I think that as we read through that, we see the zeal, and we see the inspiration, and we see what motivated them. And I think this is one of the keys. This influenced their lives. They thought that any time Christ would come back, and so they were compelled and they were motivated. And I would like for God, for us to be able to examine, for me to be able to examine my heart today, and for us together, if this could be one of the motivating influences in our lives, is the coming of Christ. You know, we can take time, and we can put it up in many different ways. We can draw a line, and we can do all of this. But I want us to think about, in all of time, two of the most important things that will happen in time. The first one was when Christ came the first time. But the second one is when Christ comes again. And there's books, there's endless history that my mind's not capable of relating. There's all of these things that happen in the sphere of time. But after we're in eternity, I think these two things are going to be way surpass everything else that happened in this sphere of time that we live in. It's when Christ came the first time, but when he comes the second time, it will be the end of time. Time will be no more. There was an angel in the book of Revelations that had one foot on land and one foot in the sea and said, after this time, there will be no more time. So the coming of Christ, we see in Jesus' words here the importance of being ready for the return of Christ. And somehow, in our fallen state, it seems those words don't always penetrate our human nature. It seems like if someone told us to get ready for something that was going to affect us for the rest of eternity, we should all, it should just move us all to the front of our chair, and it should keep us there until I'm not sure if it should ever leave us. When we read these words that Jesus says, but somehow our human nature, I'm not sure what all it is, these words can go in one ear and out the other. And they can be mixed with, oh, well, I'm young. I have a long time to live. Or they can be mixed with, well, I know it's not going to be today. Or the thousands of attitudes that come with our nature, our carnal nature, that keep us from sitting up and allowing the depth and the magnitude of Jesus' words to penetrate into our heart. Children, to all of us here, what can I say this morning that will relay the importance of you being ready when Christ returns? There's nothing that is of more importance. Nothing. I'm not sure if there's a bigger fool than someone that knows this and doesn't prepare. How can there be something more foolish? One of the things that Jesus is saying here in these words, he says, the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. And he's talking to his followers. The message is clear. Christ gives us a lot of signs in Matthew 24, the end times, and also in Luke and some of these chapters. He gives us a lot of signs, and we see these signs. Some of them are being fulfilled and some of them are taking place. But one of the things that Christ is saying to us, to each one of us individually, he's saying, I'm not going to personally come tell you the day before I come so you can get ready. I'm telling you now. I'm telling you now, get ready, because I am going to come. We have the scriptures here that tell us that no one knows the exact time. The angels don't know when the Lord's going to return. So the message is clear. Wisdom says, don't put it off. Get ready now. Don't let the sun go down. There's story after story of people that have entered eternity and they weren't ready. They didn't have the righteous robe on. I think, brothers, wisdom would have us. And may God help me. And may God help all of us. But I think wisdom would have us live our lives this way. I think wisdom would have us be motivated and compelled and be looking for that day. And I think we all know this. I just want to encourage us in this way. Our society has the opposite message. Our society says it's never going to happen. We've heard all these promises. The Bible talks about scoffers in their last day. I have the same scriptures that Zach read, some of them. Talks about scoffers in this last day. Say, where is his coming? We are saturated everywhere we turn in a society that says the opposite. Put it off. You don't need to do it now. You don't need to be responsible. I mean, it's the exact opposite message. And my dear children, my dear young people, please don't listen to this message. Today is the day of salvation. Don't let the sun go down. We have at least one story that we would want to share later, just to inspire and encourage us to soberness. As Paul tells us here, and he tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6, he says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others." And I think he's talking about our spiritual lives here, our spiritual walk. "But let us watch and be sober." Sober, the definition for sober is serious and solemn and grave. As I shared here, some die in their sleep, not prepared. The coming of Christ. We trust that we haven't spent a lot of time convincing this morning, but we trust you all believe that Christ is coming. We can be assured, you can be more sure that Christ is coming than you can be of anything else. Of anything else that you see. Please don't let the thought or the foolish notion that I'll wait and see. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. And so we have a lot of scripture here. We have 2 Peter chapter 3, and maybe we should just read down through that. I think Zach read some of it here. But I think we'll just read down through the whole chapter. Maybe we could even do it together. I think that would be a blessing if we could just read that together. I enjoy that. And it comes to my mind now, too, that I did want to make right that as we did note the passing of Anita Schmucker. And it was over this as I visited with the family some that I realized that in one of the messages I sent to the church, it was said to me that that they had put the ventilator in for her without even they called the family as they were doing it or something. I forget how I worded the text, but I did find out that the family had given their permission to do that. And so somehow there was a misunderstanding well, those words were said to me, but they were meant in a different way than I understood them. So anyway, I wanted to make that right as well. But let's together read 2 Peter chapter 3 here, all together, if you're all there. And let's pause at the commas. And this is a powerful word, and there's more in here than we'll be able to comment on or have the ability to. But let us at least just read this powerful word of God. "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking of them, these things in which some things are hard. Let's start with verse 16 again. I didn't read that all right here. Verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things, of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest also, being led away with error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We could talk some more about what we will face, the attitude in our society. Thank you for reading along. We could talk more about the scoffers, their sinful walk, the last days, and all of these things. I think this Bible here, this word here, makes it pretty plain. When we think of the word scoffers here, it's the same word that is used in Luke chapter 14, where it talks about someone that began to build a tower and they're mocked. They mock him. So let's just read that. It's the same word here. I'm going to read Luke 14, verse 28 through 30. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest, haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. The same word of ridicule. The same word here that is used, the same Greek word, I think, if I have it right, is translated scoffers in 2 Peter, verse 3. And it's the same one here used in Luke. And I'm not sure that that's a real big important point, but I thought it would give you some idea of the word scoffer. It's mocking and scoffing and all of these things. And it happens more and more. Something that comes to my mind, I think we'll leave. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But he has long suffered to us, not willing that any should perish. You know, and the burden as we think of our own lives, the coming of the Lord, if we're striving, we're overcoming, we're pure, we're holy, and we will always have this tabernacle. But then it's all the souls around us that are just a tremendous burden. Some of our family, some of our you might say our spouses' families, and just the coming of Christ. It was a burden to me, and I think maybe some of that burden. As I was able to consider my own life, the coming of Christ in each one of the children here, I just had to think this week that just the innocence, as I was able to spend some time with some of the children here in the congregation, and I just wept as I thought of every soul. And can we all help each other be prepared for the coming of Christ. And may we all with all the zeal and God's grace and power and all that we know is right, may we prepare our lives for the coming of Christ. It'll be a solemn event. It'll be something like we can have thoughts about it in our minds, and we can fathom what maybe it is like, but it will surpass. It is a bigger event than we make it. It is of more importance than we normally put on it. It will be a solemn event when Christ comes. Even if I am pure and righteous and have the robe on and am an overcomer and all of these things, it will be solemn because of all my friends and all my love or other people we care about and that we love that maybe are not prepared. It is not something to take lightly. We will see His power and His glory. And we'll probably just for the first time start understanding what God's wrath is on that day when we read about some of it here in Peter, but His wrath. The practical influence that this should influence our lives, how it should influence us, looking for and hastening unto. May God help us and give us grace in that. It should interest our minds. It should be something that we're giving a lot of thought to on a daily basis. It should influence our conduct. Looking for and hasting unto the day of God. Earnest desire and diligent preparation. Some of what we go through when we're getting ready to leave. And there's preparation made for to be gone for a day or two. And this should almost be the state of our mind that we live in, that we're constantly preparing for that day. And I think you are here. I'm not meaning this to be a heavy message. I want it to be a freeing message here. The coming of Christ. It could inspire some reflection of the awful nature and effects of sin, the emptiness and vanity of the world. What will the things that I really care about now, what will they look like on that day? The emptiness and the vanity of the fads and the things that get my attention now. The necessity of seeking Christ and having our interests and our desires in Christ. Just a few scriptures here out of Matthew 24 and some of the others. Just I'm probably going to share them and maybe not have a lot to say. Maybe we'll see what the Lord leads. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. So for us to sit here and put it off for one moment, my dear young people, my children, that you know that God is speaking to your heart. You know that He's calling you and you know that what He wants you to do. The foolishness of putting it off even one moment. The Bible says that no man knoweth. But that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. the thought has been shared there that maybe Christ Himself doesn't know. And I'm not sure. I think Christ and God are one. I'm not sure that there's a lot that God knows that Christ doesn't. When Christ says here, but my Father only, I don't think He was necessarily excluding Himself when He said that. But I'm open to thoughts there in that way. But in verse 42 it says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Verse 44 says, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Verse 50 says, "The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that when he is not aware of." And in chapter 25, verse 13, it says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." I mean, there are so many scriptures. I was amazed at how many scriptures talk about the coming of Christ. And I think it's something that we're my heart is just to remind us and encourage and inspire us here today. 1 Thessalonians 4, we'll read some scriptures here, starting in verse 13 through 18. "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." It's amazing here the insight that Paul had into the coming of Christ. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive," see how he says that, "we which are alive." I think Paul thought he was going to be here when Christ returned. And I think he looked forward to it every day. And I think that's how we should live our, I should live my life more that way. "We which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not be ahead of them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive," he says it again, "and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And that was one thing Paul, that's all that Paul, that was what, I think that's what compelled him. That's what drove him to ever be with the Lord. And may God help us. "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." We want to just mention the importance of not just spiritualizing this as some theory or some theology that someone made up. I think we will visibly see Christ. The Bible says every eye shall see him. And I think it's something that we will see him in person, him himself. How should we live in light of this truth? We know Jesus is coming again. I don't think we can afford to allow to be complacent in the day we live in. The certainty of the second coming, we know he is coming. Jesus says in John 14, starting in verse 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Is that our one longing, brothers and sisters, to be where Christ is? May God help us may that be our one longing in this life. That's His longing. And I'm sure He doesn't want us there if we don't want to be there. We can't fall into this cheap theology of letting this love for Him grow cold and all these things and still thinking that everything's fine. He has a deep longing to be with us, and we should have a deep longing to be with Him. "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know," he says in verse 4. Jesus says here in these words, if these things weren't this way, I would have told you. I'd have told you differently. But this is the way it's going to be. I'm going to come and get you again. I want to make a to prepare a place for each one of you. And after I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself. Jesus Christ himself. You know, we think of, how can that be? There's so many, but he will know each one of us personally. He will come each, he has a place for each one of us personally. Acts talks about it again, too, in a way. It gives us some insight because it's how Jesus went. And I'm thinking, in my mind, I always picture that there were two angels standing there. It just says two men. Maybe they weren't angels. I don't know. But it was somebody that knew something that said these words. And let's read it. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, I don't know how fast this went, but I picture him just starting to go up in the air. What kind of impression would that have made on us? He was just started going up, and then a cloud came. And I don't know if the cloud came down further, or I don't know how that was, but I think about it some. And I'm not sure that it really matters how that all was, but I think there's more that happened here than maybe we perceive from these words when we read them. "But a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel." And this is what they said. They said, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heaven?" They ask him a question. "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." I thought of that account in those words. The Bible doesn't tell us who these men were that were dressed in white. There was someone that knew what they were saying, I think. I think these are words that we can bank on, the coming of Christ. Again, there's a passage of Scripture here in Matthew. I think we'll just read. Matthew 24, verse 42 on through to 51. I'll just read them to you here. "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." That is what seems to be important in all of the Bible. If we hear anything, I don't think it's important how he's going to come or when he's going to come so much as that we're ready. Jesus wanted to make sure that we hear this message. And he says it over and over in his word. He's concerned that we hear these words and that we're ready when he does come. "But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." May again, our burden is that this would, in our hearts, that we would leave and remember this over and over. This was Christ's burden. We don't need to know much else. There's many things we don't need to know as long as we are completely ready. "Who then is a faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over his goods, all his goods. But, and if that evil servant say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming." It's interesting. It says, say in his heart. I'm not sure how we say something in our heart. But it seems like it's easy for us to have this attitude. And it's an attitude that will just naturally be there. It's an attitude that we need the grace, and we need zeal, and we need to make sure we don't allow that attitude to affect our life and our choices. I'm not sure how we say things in our heart other than allowing that attitude there. "My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour when he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Word of God is calling this person a servant. And it comes to my mind years ago when I had someone come to my porch as a young boy, and mom and dad weren't home, not my porch, I was still living at home, and they knocked on the door and they asked me, "Do you know that you are saved?" And I said, "Well, I hope, and my hope was pretty feeble, for sure. But he had me just read these scriptures, some scriptures, and he said, now you can know for sure that you're going to heaven." And I said, and so this is one passage I went to. And I asked him about this passage, and I said, it's calling this man a servant. It makes it sound like he's in the kingdom. But he wasn't really prepared. There was things he allowed in his life. He was to eat and drink with the drunken, and he was living a careless life. And he got throughout where there was weeping and sundering, and you know, they didn't know how to answer that. Even as a young, ignorant young boy that didn't know much, but that passage came to my mind. And there's over and over again, there's passages that indicate that there were servants that were in God's kingdom, but they got throughout because of carelessness and lack of these things. And I don't think we can let a teaching like that, even our new birth. It's easy for us to sit here and I'm born again. I've experienced a new birth, and that's true. But that doesn't give us a license to be careless and to be carefree and to just live a riotous life and all of these things. Why the concern? We're in human bodies. And it's so easy for my motives to be misguided and not even realize. Our desires can slowly shift. Our goals can lower ever so slowly, be lowered. Our vision there can just be a confusion that comes into our vision, and our aim is able to just be unsteady and not as steady as it was. Most times humanity presumes that's what God asked to be less important than it is. It's easy for us to take this lighter than it is, and I just want to encourage us. It's easy for us to presume that God is different than He is. I just presume, God's just going to forgive me. Most of humanity presumes God's mercy and forgiveness to cover our lack of interest, our lack of care, our lack of desire, our lack of zeal. And may God help us. I'm talking to myself here. But we're human. And we need God's help. Hebrews here, some scriptures. It says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great reward of recompense. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry." It says, just a little while, and he that shall come will come, and not tarry. "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." The coming of Christ. Him that tarries soon will come. Here's a story that I want to share here as we're getting closer to closing. A sudden call. It was the height of summer, and a tropical sun had just set, and a cool, refreshing sea breeze was blowing, which we were inhaling with delight. A fever peculiar to the climate had prostrated many of the ranks and proved fatal in some instances. Among these was a young officer in whom I had taken great personal interest. His strength, however, not recruiting as rapidly as he could be wished. The medical authorities advised his return to England for a short furlough. And just as the mess bugle had sounded and I was preparing to dress, he came in high spirits, but with tottering steps, to tell me that as that very evening a steamer was expected, he had obtained leave to embark, and he was hardly wished me goodbye. His last words were, "I'm going home tonight, and perhaps the steamer will come in before you leave the mess. If not, see me off." It was midnight before we left the mess room, and on walking to my quarters, I found a lamp burning in my friend's room. I looked in and found him sleeping soundly, but breathing very loudly. I went up to him and found all my efforts to waken him unavailing. I immediately summoned the doctor, and to my horror, he pronounced him to be dying. In 3 hours, and just as a signal gun was fired to announce the arrival of the steamer in which he had engaged his passage, his spirit passed away. He was gone home. He had lived to Christ on earth, and by his bedside lay the Bible which he had just read before he slept the fatal sleep. "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. Again, we serve a God, and it reminds me of things I've heard people say, even about the virus here, you know, our breath. We so easy don't remember, but every moment is a gift. Our lives are in God's hand. And God is not mocked. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." The coming of Christ, the message has eternal importance. It is the most important thing that we could consider tonight, I think, or today, the coming of Christ, and are we ready? May God help us always to be prepared. May no one here be caught off guard. May we always be at the place we would want to be when He returns. May we always be doing the things that He would approve of when He comes. His coming will be the end of time, as Wad said earlier. The thought came to me as I was preparing this that I hadn't thought before, and this is another attitude that we can have in our nature. But Christ can return without your consent. He's probably not going to come ask any of us, "Is it okay if I come?" He can come without our consent. Wise is the person who knows these things to be true and infallible, that remains awake, alert, cautious, and careful in every area of life. Alert to his responsibilities by guarding over his life, its deeds and actions. May each one of us be concerned that first and chief we are building a godly character in our own life that will be pleasing to Christ at his coming. It's interesting. Some time ago, we had someone work for us, and he was kind of a likable fellow, a little bit younger than me. And I tried ministering to him almost all the time that he worked for us. And he was in and out of jail, and I talked. We tried helping him in different ways. But I can't help but think of the one day in my office again. I just said, "Please, please give your life to the Lord." And I just kept on going. I said, "Please." And I begged him, and I went on and on talking. And he just looked at me and he said, "Aiden, it's not for me. It's just not for me." And it was probably 6 months later, he was out driving on a scooter, and someone came up behind him and killed him. And we don't know, but it's a burden. We don't know for sure, but yet we do in a way. unless he changed his mind, all the things that I had shared with him from the Bible, they were just not for him. They were just not for him. It just so happens today his mom is having a little memorial thing for him. But to celebrate his life. But so how is it with us? Is everyone here ready for the coming of Christ? Are we ready? Today, if you hear his voice, we have an opportunity. If we're not, we have an opportunity that words, there's no words that I have in my vocabulary to properly describe the opportunity that we have today. If we're not ready, we have an opportunity of the opportunity of eternity. Am I ready for the coming of Christ? I don't think there's anything else that matters. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Again, may this truth, may our lives be lived from this truth. May this truth motivate us, fathers and mothers, as you go home today. Gather your children. Pry into their hearts. Children, some of you here, I think God's speaking to some of you. How can you put off? How can you put something like this off? What can you base it on but foolishness? How can it not be foolish to leave here today and not do all that you know to be ready for his coming? Christ is coming. Are you ready?